With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the radio.com app. And now it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
James White coming up after 10 with Dale and Keith, and Bill Belichick will join OMF this afternoon at about 5:30. Tom Brady will join us at around 8:45 this morning. And right now it's time for Boomer Esiason, who is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hello, Boomer.
Hey, good morning.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. I had to work and then come home to a whole bunch of drunk people, so it was perfect.
Did you get all your Black Friday shopping done? Were you involved in any scuffles out there or anything like that?
I was not involved in any scuffles. There's a Macy's right around the corner where I live. I was thinking about going online and standing there for about 5 hours, and then I hit myself over the head with a hammer and decided not to.
I'm hoping that you can talk us all off the ledge this morning after a late night last night.
Man, it's going to be really hard to talk you off the ledge with the way that they played last night, man. Their first half was terrible. And, you know, you could see the frustration on Tom Brady's face. You could read his lips. You can hear what he's saying. I think he's definitely struggling with his wide receivers, whether it be Mohamed Sanu and N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, you name it. And you got to give Romeo Crennel, and I think they were doing a good job last night explaining what was going on, Romeo Crennel some credit with the way that he really tried to take Julian Edelman out of the game. Julian Edelman is such a key component on third down, little fourth and ones, things of that nature. And I thought they did a pretty good job of that. And, you know, look, let's face it, the Patriots, they got kicking problems now. This is their fourth kicker of the year. It doesn't really sound like much, especially when you miss an extra point. It's no big deal. But Steven Gostkowski and Adam Vinatieri, but prior to him, were so important to their success, and that when they're not there, all of a sudden that becomes an issue. And when you look at what Baltimore did yesterday and how Justin Tucker kicks, I think, what was a 48 or 47 yarder in the rain to win the game, and he hasn't missed a fourth quarter kick in, I think, 38 tries, it tells you just how important it truly is to have a solid kicker, somebody you can rely on. And I think it's just one of the problems that the Patriots are dealing with right now.
Do you think we should have faith that they get this figured out offense-wise in time for the playoffs?
That's a really good question. You know, it's frustrating to watch against good teams. You know, now we talked about how their schedule was going to turn and they were going to play better teams, and I think we're starting to see that now, and we're starting to see some of the warts, especially on offense. They're just not the big play offense that they have been in the past. And one of those things, and Tom Brady is saying it to him, you know, to us, as he gives his post-game press conferences, his weekly press conferences. He talks about practice. He talks about being on the same page. He talks about trust, all those things. And, you know, when you take a look at the initial interception that he had, I would tell you don't ever throw the ball there. But I would also say the receiver cannot allow the defensive back to undercut him to make the interception. And by the way, how about that tackle by Tom Brady? Hits the guy in the thigh and the guy goes down? I mean, right? It was amazing. I was like, wow, that was some kind of tackle. He is kind of like Superman to be able to bring a guy down like that. But, I mean, there are problems. And I think last night what they tried to do, it seemed like to me on offense, is they really wanted to establish a physical presence running the football early in this game. And I think they did that because they wanted to be able to use that as the game wore on in play-action passing situations to kind of get guys off their spots and try to throw them behind them. And it really didn't work. And I think they did score late in the game was because Houston's defense probably wore down a little bit. But it was a really frustrating performance offensively the first half, and I think we saw that on Tom's face.
Boomer, you've watched two decades of Tom Brady and all his greatness like the rest of us, and
I know the world is tap dancing on his and the Patriots' preemptive grave today, but do you really see him slipping at all? I mean, is this a personnel issue, or is Tom maybe just not making little reads that he would have made a nanosecond quicker? Is there something you see there that should tell us that we're on the other side of what we've been dreading for years?
You know, there are a couple of really good passes he threw last night.
Right.
And that's the same Tom Brady that I've seen. You know, and it was indoors. The conditions were ripe for, you know, high-end passing, which we did not see in the first half. We saw some of it in the second half. I mean, they had 448 total yards, and they ran 79 plays last night. I mean, it's not like that they're inept, but it was just in the bulk of the game, it was frustrating. And when you see Tom on the side and he can get somewhat demonstrative, he can also get a little angry, and he's yelling over, you know, 70,000 fans to his teammates, so it probably looks worse than it really is. But, you know, there were times where in the body of the game, you know, he didn't trust his wide receivers, and you can see that. And it also does show you how much they miss Gronk. And, you know, Chris Collinsworth was talking about it last night. It's hard to replace a 6'7", 270-pound tight end that just mauls people. And when you need a big play, you can always go to him because he was uncoverable. So that is a big portion of their team that they are missing right now. And it's evident against good teams. And every team is going to try to give its best performance against Brady and against Belichick. And I think Deshaun Watson after the game said exactly that. You know, we don't usually beat these guys, but we have to be on our best, and they were last night.
Speaking of Belichick, what did you think of the half-hearted post-game handshake with Bill O'Brien?
Well, you know, you never know what goes on between old Belichick assistants and him and, you know, the underlying cause for those things. I mean, there's probably a lot of history there. There's probably some things that have been said there. And, you know, the whole trying to take away the Patriots' right-hand man to Bill Belichick.
Nick Caserio.
What's his name?
The Easterby departure, yeah, so, Caserio, yeah, all that.
Right, Caserio, right, Nick Caserio. So, yeah, that probably plays into all of this. Look, man, there are 32 teams. There are 32 lunatics that run the teams. There are 32 billionaires that own the teams. I mean, it is just it's madness personified in every which way that you can possibly imagine. So there is so much competition. You know, it was kind of funny yesterday watching the pregame between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. You have Jimmy Haslam, who was a former minority owner of the Steelers, talking to Art Rooney II. And they're out there as partners now, full-on partners, you know, as owners of these NFL teams. But you damn well know, internally, the competition is there. They want to beat the hell out of each other. And that's wrought throughout the league. And that's one of the reasons why high competition games like this are so intense and mean so much. And when the game is over, you see one side, the losing side, usually not so graceful.
Speaking of that, what did you think of Freddie Kitchens wearing the Pittsburgh Started It shirt?
Well, all right, so we're all old school. I'm a boomer, everybody. Okay, boomer, I get it. But, I mean, you talk about dumb. It doesn't get any dumber than this. I mean, he's a head coach of an NFL football team. There are certain characteristics that I would like to think that you have, and one of those is a little bit of, I don't know, you want to be...
Class, maybe?
A little classy, yeah. I mean, you don't want to... And I know his daughter gave him the T-shirt, and I know he wore a jacket over it, and then he's going over it yesterday after the game is over. And I'm like, these are things that coaches shouldn't be getting caught up into. They shouldn't be bogged down by this nonsense. They should be focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is to beat the next opponent and not give the next opponent any sort of fuel for the fire, if you will. And most of the Pittsburgh players, you know, we're all talking about it after the game. Of course they are, because that's the world we live in, and that's the social media world we live in. So I just think, and I said this in week one, that he was the wrong guy for that team. And it has showed itself over and over and over again with the way the players have behaved. But now it also shows itself with the way that he's behaved and some of the things that he's done that make you scratch your head. And you wonder why John Dorsey, the general manager, went down this road. So it goes all the way back to the general manager's front door. I don't care what anybody says. He's the guy that's responsible for putting the team together and putting the coaching staff together. And boy, did he misread this.
Boomer, the Patriots reportedly took two planes to Houston, one of them being the sick bay because everyone has the flu germs. I think 9 guys were listed as questionable because of the flu. How much of a factor do you think that played into the loss?
I think it's a big deal. You know, I've played with the flu a couple of times. And it's not fun. It's just not fun. I think Marcus Cannon came out of the game last night because of illness. You go out there, you try to do whatever you can. The interesting thing is that the Patriots actually took two planes. You know, I played for the Cardinals and the Bengals. They would just hand out, operating masks and say, "Don't sit next to the guy that's sick."
Well, you had your own plane, didn't you? If I remember correctly.
No, I wish I did. I keep telling you guys, I played for the Jets, the Bengals, and the Cardinals, otherwise known as the Bermuda Triangle of the NFL. And there's a reason why I'm in TV today, and it's because of all the hits I took to the head back when I played. So there is no question that the Patriots do it first class. It's one of the reasons why they win. They go to every nth degree to try to win a football game. We all know that, and I give them a lot of credit, but there is something to be said of playing under those conditions. Not easy, so maybe that's part of it. And we'll find out, you know, who this Patriot team really is next week.
Yeah.
Because next week, Patrick Mahomes and the boys are coming to town, and they look like they're rounding into shape.
Boomer, this is a team that started out 8-0, and everyone was talking about running the table or, you know, just steamrolling their way to the season, which was all far too soon, far too early. Now the Patriots stare down a scenario where if they slip up at home, which they've never done with Brady and Edelman in the starting lineup against the Chiefs next week, they could be playing the Bills in a few weeks for the AFC East the Saturday before Christmas. How do you tune that sort of panic and drama out? And I know they're very good at it. How do you get rid of that and just make sure that you get back to the fundamentals? Is that what you do? Just go back to fundamentals now?
I mean, Bill Belichick does it better than anybody. Now, for those of us in the media, you know, we're allowed to hit the panic button. That's what we get paid to do. I mean, you know, down here in New York this morning, it's going to be ugly because the Jets lost to the Bengals and the Giants have now lost 8 straight. So we hit the panic button. Everybody's got to panic. But Belichick, for whatever reason, has been able to keep things pretty steady, and he always is the same way. Do your job and keeps it pretty simple. I think that's the only way that you can do it. And you rely on your experience, and they have a lot of experienced players that have won a lot of football games. They've been counted out before. So I don't think this is going to be that big of a deal for them. But what this does remind me of a little bit was the year of Super Bowl 50, where they lost a home. I think it was a home game, and it was a bad loss. And maybe they lost to Miami. I forget which game it was.
It was a bad loss to the Eagles in like late November. Then they ended the season losing to the Jets and on the road in Miami, and they blew the number one seed.
Right, exactly. And they had to go to Denver for the AFC Championship game. And it was an unbelievable AFC Championship game. You know, Peyton Manning wasn't 100%, but that Denver defense was awesome at home. And I think that it's what you want to stay away from. You do not want to have to go to Baltimore on the road. That's why losing AFC games late in the season like this is really going to come back to bite them. I still have them and the New Orleans Saints going to the Super Bowl. I'm not changing that. There's a lot of football left to be played. As we always say, you got to play all 16 to find out where you slot in the playoffs. And that's where we are with the Patriots right now. But their offense has got to get better, and it's got to get moving earlier in the game. I think they're trying to run the ball. They're trying to become more physical, and they're trying to, I think, try to play a little bit of defense with their offense and ball control. That's what it felt like last night. Keep Deshaun Watson off the field. But unfortunately, on third down, they couldn't convert for first downs. And, their offense didn't get started until way too late.
Oh, the Ravens look so good, though. I mean, they really do. They look great.
I don't, you know, yesterday's game was a 20-17 game. You know, that was a slugfest. If anybody watched it from start to finish, it was everything that I think most football fans thought it was going to be. It was unfortunate that it was played in a driving rainstorm. But yesterday was the first time that I saw this year that Lamar Jackson finally started getting hit. I mean, he took about 5 or 6 direct shots yesterday. And now this week they go on the road to play Buffalo. Buffalo's defense is good, but it's not as good as San Francisco's defense. San Francisco came out of there, you know, with a really good feeling about themselves. And tonight's Monday night game is really important because if Seattle does beat Minnesota, Seattle will go to the number 2 seed. New Orleans will go to the number 1 seed. And San Francisco, after being like one of the better teams all year long in the NFC, will fall to the number 5 seed. So think about that for a second and how things can change late in the season like they have. But San Francisco showed me something yesterday. They are a for real team, and they will be right in the mix for the NFC Super Bowl berth.
All right, Boomer. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. Good luck with all the miserable Jets fans, and have fun. We'll talk to you next week.
And Greg, I got to tell you, you're a hero today. I mean, I know you only got 3 hours of sleep. It was, you hate Sunday night football games, and there's a little weather up there in Boston, and you were bitching and complaining before this whole thing started. I just want to tell you that you are a mensch, and you are a tough guy,
Boomer,
and I appreciate you showing
from
up
you,
today.
Listen, coming from you, that means a lot. It really does. High
Greg,
five.
Just remember one simple edict, okay?
Yes.
Do your job.
Yes.
And no days off.
Yeah.
No days off.
I like that
That's
one.
Two simple edicts.
All right, Boom.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Patriots running back James White. Later today from 10 to 2 on Dale and Keefe with Wiggy. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Red River Technology. Technology decisions are not black and white. Think red. Visit redriver.com to learn more. We'll have Boomer up shortly at WEEI.com. Brought to you by DCU and Vertex. Boy, trying to butter you up there at the end. What's that all about?
Yes. Butter.
I'm glad he finally knows my name. I mean, it took weeks for him to know everybody's name on the show, so I'm happy.
Cover it.
Talk about it.
Cover it.
How about this from Mike Reese? The Patriots now have a one-game lead in the AFC East. The Bills right behind them. First time since 2010 they've only been up one game in the division through 13 weeks of football. So this is like...
The Bills have the Ravens this week, correct?
That's right. Hey, isn't this fun, guys? We get to root for the 49ers one Sunday while we root for the Pats against the Texans, and now we have to root for the Bills, who we then hope to beat 2 weeks later. Awesome. Everything is awesome.
Next Sunday
is
the best day for TV watching, because at 1 o'clock you got Bills-Ravens, and I believe Saints-49ers. Is that possible? Both at 1, and then at 4:25 you have Pats-Chiefs. So perfect day to just do nothing.
Oh, of course, when Mike Reese tweets it, Ken, you'll talk about it like it's legitimate news, but when I say the Patriots could be in jeopardy of losing the division,
well,
you say
fact,
it's all hogwash, LFG, GFY.
That's correct.
YYZ.
Patriots off the board mostly with the Chiefs, but I see a couple 3.5-point favorites for New England, so we'll see how that progresses. A lot of good quarterbacks here they're playing in consecutive order. Deshaun Watson finished up with a passer rating of 140.7. He talked about beating his idol.
Well, Deshaun, certainly you had some big wins, but how big is this win? Where does it rank? And certainly you got four more games left in the regular season, but what does this do to propel you for the next four games now?
I mean, honestly, it's pretty big, really just because it's Brady. You know, I was 0-2 against Brady. Who knows when he's going to hang it up? You know, that's my role model, a guy that's been doing it forever.
I wanted the Texas question in there. Get some of that flavor. Monday Night Football tonight, Vikings at the Seahawks. We will join it at 7:30 after Monday night. Bruins have won 7 in a row, 3-1 the win last night. Pastrnak, 25 goals in 27 games. And he's starting to get some liberties taken on him as well, Hillman. They're coming after him now. Try to get him off his game. But he scored a big one in the third. Backus in the Brusque as well. Next up, Carolina tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Celtics beat the Knicks. Fitzy was on over the weekend. I don't know if did you do much Kyrie talk with the loss to the Nets. They beat the Nets and they lost to the Nets.
All Pats on Saturday from 1-3.
Yeah, kind of an ugly win over the Knicks last night. They host Miami on Wednesday. And Steve Adazio out. BC going a different direction despite being bowl eligible. This is the Greg Hill Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Interesting choice, Ken. Is that the Jackson 5?
Yeah, I think that's on your list. Your Most annoying list?
Ah, I believe that is on the list.
That is number 8 on the list of most annoying Christmas songs.
We should probably go over the list. We were talking about this earlier in the show to try to provide some sort of a distraction based on what happened last night during the game.
Yes.
We're trying to distract you this morning. Get you out of your
get out of your head, your misery,
your miserable mood.
Your over analysis.
I mean, are you more miserable this morning about the Patriots' loss or the weather and the traffic situation?
Patriots, because the weather's inevitable every year.
Yeah, but it's not even winter. I mean,
meteorological winter, Greg.
We're going to get like a foot of snow, or at least a half a foot of snow this afternoon and this evening, and it's not even winter yet.
Yeah. And no one could drive this morning, so imagine how fun the PM commute is going to be. Yeah.
But if we learned anything from Game of Thrones, it's that winter is coming.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Baby.
So, in England,
I've seen him kill himself.
They did a survey in England of the most annoying Christmas songs, and I agree with number one, which is Mariah Carey and All I Want for Christmas Is You.
It's just overplayed. So overplayed.
All of these things are somewhat overplayed, but that one is way more overplayed than others, I think.
Yeah.
Number two I do not agree with, which is Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas? And there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas time. I like that one. What was number three?
I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard.
What is that?
I don't even know that one. That must be. I wish it could be Christmas every day. When the kids start singing and then begins to play. That must be an English thing.
Yeah.
Kinda they were like spotted dick.
They were an English glam
it's
rock
delicious.
Band.
Don't sleep on the spotted dick, Greg. It's delicious.
It's delicious.
Wizard. One of the members of Wizard was Roy Wood, who was co-founder of ELO.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now, number four on the list of worst Christmas songs: "Merry Christmas, Everybody" by Slade.
Uh huh. All right. So here it is, Merry Christmas. You don't really hear that often.
Not so much. Yeah. Not so much.
Don't you have to actually know the song to hate it?
Well, in England, they obviously do.
They do.
I think so, yeah.
Now, number five, we mentioned earlier, Last Christmas by Wham.
Yeah, which Curtis is not a big fan of. I'm not either.
I like that song.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
And then what else is on there?
Number six, Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Oh, that's a great song.
I love that song.
Awesome.
They're off on a couple of these on this list.
Number seven is the Tom Jones version of Baby, It's Cold Outside. Oh. Okay.
Which is creepier than the original.
Correct.
If possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number eight, as we mentioned earlier, Santa Claus is Coming to Town by the Jackson 5. Number nine, Santa Baby by Eartha Kitt. I love that song.
You do?
It kind of makes me sad that it landed on the list.
Did you like the Madonna version, or you just like the Eartha Kitt version?
I like the Madonna version was good, too. But if I had to pick one over the other, I'd go Eartha.
Next year, I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list.
That one bothers you, Curtis?
Yes.
The Madonna version or that version? Or just either version?
This version, and Madonna even more, because I think of Madonna now singing that song, and it makes me want to
Curtis, know to who you step. That is the original Catwoman. Nothing about her should bother you.
How dare you.
How dare you. That's superhero royalty.
And rounding out number 10 on the list of most annoying Christmas songs is Jingle Bells by the Andrews Sisters.
Oh, I can't believe that Feliz Navidad didn't make the list.
Leave Jose Feliciano.
What about Dominic the Donkey? Why isn't Dominic the Donkey on there?
I don't know if they're playing that
favorite
a lot in Britain.
Dominic the Donkey? Do you ever hear the lyrics, like Christmas songs that you don't know the messages behind? Everyone freaked out about, the John Legend song, the Dean Martin song, like, oh, that's too sexual. Do you ever hear I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas, where the kid talks about breaking a bat over another child's head, and that's why he committed murder. He killed another child.
Maybe the kid didn't die. I mean,
well, okay, but normally I saw Casino. Usually, when you hit someone with a bat, they die. I saw The Untouchables. Well, you know. Usually, the bat doesn't do good things.
By the way, have you seen The Irishman yet?
Haven't. I didn't have 9 hours.
It's long. I'll give a review at some point. I watched it over Thanksgiving. It's good. I like it. It's a little slow to. I mean, it's 3 hours. It's a little slow to start.
I was going to sit and watch it, but I didn't really find a 3.5 hour window where I couldn't move.
Now,
well, that's what I did on Thanksgiving evening. I mean, after stuffing myself, I watched that and then I fell asleep.
Good meal?
Yeah, great meal. Yeah, I mean, obviously great, yes.
What now, does The Irishman have, I know there's no intermission when they showed it in theaters, you had to watch the whole 3:40. Are there parts where you could say, you could like break it up like, oh, I'm 1 hour and 10 minutes in, like this is a good part. So you could, make it episodic if you will?
You could if you wanted to. You could, absolutely. I mean, I don't have time right now to cover everything. I mean, Al Pacino, I think, is great in it. De Niro, obviously, but
Pesci? Pesci's in it, right?
Pesci's in it. Pesci's good. I mean, it really, it's almost like the Patriots. Like, fourth quarter, it's much better than first quarter. Last night, anyway, Patriots-wise.
So Pesci is James White.
Yes, yes.
I like all the musings that I've seen on the Twitter and the Instagram about people who are saying that everyone complaining about how long The Irishman is had no problem binge-watching Stranger Things in one sitting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but it's one thing. I think people look at it and go, oh, a three-hour movie.
Right.
Am I going to have the time for it or not?
Right.
But I mean, it's good.
When does Baby Yoda appear?
Baby Yoda's not in that.
I'm thinking
of The Mandalorian.
I'm out.
You're thinking of
When is the new episode of The Mandalorian?
It was last Friday.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It was fantastic.
Really?
It was like the rifleman in space. Brilliant. Perfect. It was fantastic.
This is the way.
I mean, you now say more negative things about the Patriots than you do about the Mandalorian, that's irony. I mean, you've yet to say one bad thing about the Mandalorian.
I have literally switched from Patriots superfan to the Fandalorian.
Right.
I'm Team Mando
You're the Mando honk. Mando honk. This is Mike in the truck. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up?
Mike.
I have to call Fitz out. I think he's going to have to stick to his Mandalorian comments because he referred to Eartha Kitt as the original Catwoman from the 1966 TV show, and she wasn't. Julie Newmar was.
Oh.
Mm. Oh. So Julie Newmar was the original Catwoman, then Eartha Kitt took over?
Yes.
Well.
As a matter of fact, Eartha Kitt took over in season 3. Julie Newmar would have been the Catwoman in the movie the summer of 66, but she was busy with a prior obligation to another thing she was doing. So Lee Merriweather played Catwoman in the summertime release movie.
And then
a couple weeks ago, he made a statement that DC and Marvel would never cross over, and in the 90s,
there were three crossovers, Superman versus Spider-Man. I know. I misspoke. I apologize. I will be going to nerd detention later and turning in my pop culture bona fides.
Great call, Mike.
I apologize.
The guy's all over you more than Ken is.
Oh, my God.
The Joker to your Batman.
Yeah. Okay. Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar.
All right.
My apologies.
It's a Patriots Monday. We are going to hear from Tom Brady at 8:45 this morning, but the news is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Well, just a little update on this winter storm we're having. Of course, the first big one with the snow that's causing everyone to not be able to drive. And, of course, saw a lot of school cancellations and delays this morning.
Yeah.
Which I was a little surprised to see some of those announcements come through yesterday. But I guess some areas got hit harder than others.
Well... Nation of pussies. Yeah, I mean, they're canceling school at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon before the snow.
When did that start? As a kid, it was never, even in a blizzard, you had to wake up at 5 a.m. and your mom would say, no school today.
Like, yeah.
The days of it happening at 4 o'clock before snow even hits the ground. What's the rush?
I wonder if it has to do, you know, all kidding aside or all whining and complaining aside, I wonder if it has to do with the fact that now, in most cases, both parents work. So they want to, like, give people
enough
the
notice.
Opportunity to figure out what they're going to do with their kids or
I
whatever.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, it had to be a blizzard for school to be canceled in my day, back
even
in my
day. In my case, like, when you used to have to, back in the day when you had to watch the scroll come through and, God forbid, you missed the letter of your town.
Yeah.
If we went to Swansea, I knew that Swampscott had school. I'm like, what? This is ridiculous. They never cancel. Now it's like at the drop of a hat. But depending on this, it's a long duration storm. That's what they're calling it. We're going to see snow through about noon tomorrow. And, you know, depending on where you are, they'll get less on the Cape. As you come up through Boston and go north and west, the snowfall totals will get higher. So they're looking upwards of a foot in some areas. So keep your eye open with that. Make sure you have your snow brush in your car. You don't have to use your credit card to scrape the ice off. Crazy situation over the weekend in Milton. An evacuation slide fell off a Delta plane and landed in one guy's backyard. The FAA is investigating. I believe Delta is as well. Flight 405 was coming to Logan from Paris. It did land safely. Luckily, nobody was hurt, but Weihan Wang is the homeowner where the slide fell.
Who can know, like, there's something coming from the air and dropping into my yard, right?
Yeah.
And it's pretty heavy. You can't even carry it. It just fell directly in my yard, so I don't even know what happened at that time.
I think I would have run out there and crawled under it to get the bag of cash
yeah,
that could
seriously.
Be coming from Delta.
Lucky, I agree.
Lucky nobody was hurt.
Seriously. Well, I mean, even it melted. What was it like? Must have been like 8 or 9 years ago. Remember when that kid fell out of the wheel well?
Yes.
He was like
a
stowaway, and he landed in someone's backyard in Milton.
Yeah.
Just that flight path.
Must be a little behind on the routine maintenance there at the Delta.
Somebody didn't do something in the pre-flight check.
Screw needed to be tightened or something.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Take note if you've ever snuck out of your house and need to get back in, the chimney, not a good route to go, even though that's the route that Santa uses. He's the only one that is successful in doing that, kids, so don't try this. 17-year-old girl in Phoenix got locked out of her parents' house, tried to get in through the chimney, but the flue was blocked. at the bottom, so she gets stuck and had to be rescued by firefighters. This is a friend of the young girl who got stuck.
She was panicking. She was like, I don't know what to do. Call 911. Like, she was panicking. She couldn't breathe or nothing. She thought of the chimney going down the chimney, but I didn't know it was blocked on the bottom. So she went down the chimney and she got stuck. She started freaking out. I don't know what we were thinking. They were so mad. They were really, really mad.
Really mad. I'd be mad.
Really, really mad.
Really, like totally mad.
So mad.
It's like totes unbelieves. By the way, obscure reference as to the dangers of trying to go down the chimney around Christmas, Gremlins. When Phoebe Cates' character's dad tried to go down the chimney, surprised the family, got stuck there, suffocated and burned to death.
Oh, no. Yes. That's terrible.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes,
Pat's
Merry
lost.
Merry Christmas. Happy Monday. It's snowing. You mentioned bag of cash earlier when we talked about the evacuation slide story. There's a woman in Canada, Montreal, who's getting a bag of cash for a suit that's been going on for 10 years now. She initially was arrested for not holding the escalator handrail at the Montreal Metro station.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
That's a crime?
It's evidently
in Canada?
Evidently it was at the time, but she has fought this. She refused to identify herself initially when they tried to arrest her 10 years ago, and she's gone back and forth. It finally got to the Supreme Court, and they have awarded her $20,000 in damages. Now, that's far less than she's paid in legal fees, but Bella Kassoyan said that really this was about principle.
It's access to justice, like for small people like me. Nobody is above the law. Police cannot go and abuse power. And I told them it's my right to hold the handrail, not to hold. It says caution. It's only suggestion. It doesn't force you to hold the handrail. I did for my principals, for my children, for your children, and for future. Because it's going to be in case law, you see.
Because case law is very important. Because if you're going to be arrested for not holding, how you say, the handrail for escalator, what are you going to be arrested for next?
You spent $100,000 in legal fees.
It's called principle.
But
it's part of case law. It's very important. It was never about money. It's like that man who sued the man who had relations with his wife. It's never about money. It's just about the principle.
Was this the same woman taking selfies in Chernobyl?
Correct. You can only be in there for 2.5 minutes. It's actually a little bit less than that ICA MFA exhibit that Greg went to. By the way, speaking of escalators, because you know I'm such a huge Kevin Smith fan, I do have an audio Mallrats obscure reference.
Okay. That kid is back on the escalator again.
Leave it alone.
What?
That's a wildly underrated film.
Agree.
That's a very funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mallrats.
Mm-hmm.
Worth a rewatch. That's
great
worth
early
a
Ben Affleck.
I loved School Ties, Mallrats, douche Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, right up to your suspect. Like the early Affleck, babyface Affleck is great. But that's a good Saturday rewatch, Greg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Customer's always an a-hole. Let's get to Florida, not like the rest of us.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
A Florida woman was arrested Friday morning for faking a medical emergency on board an American Airlines flight from Pensacola to Miami because she wanted a bigger seat. The woman started complaining that she couldn't breathe and then was trying to get upgraded to first class so she could be more comfortable.
Oh, I like it.
Well,
that's
the plan,
pretty creative.
The plan backfired because they had to divert the plane because they felt that she might have been having a cardiac issue and they wanted to get her immediate medical attention. So as soon as they landed, she refused to get off the plane. They had to then evacuate. I can't even imagine being on this flight. What a nightmare. They had to evacuate the entire plane. They deplaned everybody. Then they arrested her because they figured out she was faking the medical issue. Then everybody had to get screened and go back on the plane to finish flying to Miami.
What a nightmare.
Absolute mess. So she now is going to be facing several different charges as a result.
Who's worse than the traveler who takes your time? It's taking away our conversation from last week at the checkout line and all those other places. But the person on the plane who either takes too long to get down the aisle, puts his baggage where they don't belong, tries to get into a seat that's not his correct row, that is the person that should belong in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the thing is, when it comes to the baggage, we were talking about this last week, nobody's carry-ons, like our normal size carry, because they're all trying to avoid paying the $75 right. or whatever. So they're bringing giant
huge
suitcases.
Bags.
And there's no, isn't it supposed to be that the area above your seat is where your luggage
yes.
goes?
Correct.
And that covers six seats in most cases.
But
like
if you're
can't.
In group five.
Right. Like, don't put your bag in like aisle two.
But everything is gone by the time you get there. There's no more room left.
Group
there.
Five, bro, come on.
Yeah.
Now, you know what it would be like? It would be like if you had a couple of cars parked in front of your house and you had to bring your barrels out to the front. So you just like decide to put your garbage barrels in front of your neighbor's house. Like, get out of here. The bag goes above
right,
where you sit, you jerk.
It goes above where you're sitting. Or if it doesn't fit, you have to check it like
Thank
everybody
you.
Else and
right.
pay for it.
Exactly.
And wait for it.
Right. A Maine man, this is Maine the way life shouldn't be, was killed by his homemade booby trap at his front door.
Oh, boy.
It's a 65-year-old guy, Ronald Sear, called 911 to report that he'd been shot on Thanksgiving evening at home. When EMS got there, they discovered a booby trap at the front door designed to fire a handgun.
Jesus.
Evidently, there were more...
Was he getting death threats, or is he just
I think he's like one of those off-the-grid kind of people.
Okay.
Whoa, Home Alone 4 is pretty wild.
It is very wild. So when they checked out the home, they found more what they determined to be unknown devices. So they had to call in the Maine State Police bomb squad. They took him to the hospital. He was pronounced dead from the gunshot wounds. Then they did the investigation. They found out he accidentally shot himself.
Guy sounds a little paranoid.
A little.
Like if you're booby-trapping your front door with a gun, you're obviously a tad bit paranoid. Yeah.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
I don't know what the Maine law is, but in many laws, possessing a booby-trap device is illegal in some states. There was a guy that was arrested a few months ago in Kentucky because he had one that was like filled with knives on his front porch. It's just,
What about a moat? Can you have a moat?
I would have a moat. Yeah, if I had enough frontage, I would have a moat.
If you could have anything from a castle at the house, would it be a moat, a drawbridge, or would you have archers with flaming arrows at the top of the house on the ready?
Piranhas. You got piranhas.
All of the above. If you're cheating on your spouse or your significant other and you're doing things like going to a restaurant, you might want to be careful that no one is taking photos for a restaurant review. There's a guy who's a food critic for the Washington Post who got an email from a woman who says that she wanted to thank him because one of his recent reviews featured a photo of the inside of a restaurant. And lo and behold, there's her husband having dinner with a woman that wasn't her.
Oh, what if it was work-related?
I think he would have told her about that, probably. Yes, yeah. I'm sure that the excuse was a little different. She sent an email and said, well, Tom, your latest review is accompanied by a picture of my husband dining with a woman who isn't me. Once confronted with photographic evidence, he confessed to having an ongoing affair. Just thought you'd be amused to hear in your part of the drama. This Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for you exposing a cheat. The critic was a little skeptical, but now people have been combing through his posts trying to find the photo with the man, and I think they may have spotted that. So, unbelievable. If you're looking to make a quick buck and you want to watch all the Star Wars movies back-to-back, Cable.com is offering one lucky fan $1,000 to watch every movie back-to-back before the release of Star Wars Rise of the Skywalker on December 20th. They're looking for what they call an entertaining Star Wars junkie with a Chewbacca-sized personality, the wit of Han Solo.
Yeah, Fitzy's out.
And
parts of the
Master
entertaining
Yoda.
Part.
Never tell me the odds, Ken.
Now,
you would pay them $1,000 for that.
Oh, God. The person must
be... Or do not. There is no try.
They must be an active Twitter user who's willing to share their knowledge and movie-watching experience while tagging the cable TV team on Twitter. If you're also active on Twitch, Reddit, and other social media, you do have an advantage. You just need to be 18 and a U.S. citizen. The marathon itself is 22 hours, 25 minutes long, and includes all 10 of the canon movies.
Would it be on a Tuesday or a Friday? Because I'm available. Wiggy can
By
cover
way,
my
Wiggy
shift.
By the way, Wiggy in Tuesday.
Yes.
But, I mean, isn't it going to be an issue for you Star Wars people if the movie is not as good as The Mandalorian?
Oh,
I mean,
my God. Even from the delivery, you Star Wars people.
Isn't that going to be an issue?
Well, good news, Greg. Early word is, and by the way, Danielle, Rise of the Skywalker. What are you, 77?
What?
It's the Rise of Skywalker.
Sorry.
Hey, have you seen Rise of the Skywalker?
The Rise of the Skywalker.
Hey, hard.
have. Hey, Murray, are you going to go with me to see Rise of the Skywalker? I heard it's the third best in the franchise.
What are the reviews? They're good?
Early word is it's the third best Star Wars film. Right behind Empire and Star Wars.
Really?
And I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Is that how it goes when you're ranking?
I go Star Wars, Empire, but most people go Empire, Star Wars.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Okay.
Empire, I mean, arguably Empire is the best film. It's an excellent film. Gets better on rewatch, but Star Wars is the first movie I saw. I'm always going to be an OG Episode 4 guy.
How many are they going to make? I mean,
This is it? This is the end of the Skywalkers.
Really?
Forever?
Anything further will be completely different storylines, and Jon Favreau, who has made The Mandalorian.
It's not going to be completely different.
Yes.
I mean, it's the same thing.
It's not.
It's a space.
It's outer space, right. It's all space movies.
Yes.
Gravity actually was a Star Wars movie. Yeah. Sandra Bullock, I think, is a lost Skywalker.
It's pretty much the same
thing. She died in that movie.
It's good versus evil.
Everyone died.
No, she didn't. It's good versus evil.
Why would you do that?
Pretty much the same thing.
Different Death Star that blows up.
Yeah, Apollo 13 was a great Star Wars movie.
Houston, we have a Death Star.
All right. Anything else, Danielle?
No, that's it.
All right. Tom Brady's going to join us in about 45 minutes. It's a Patriots Monday here at WEEI. James White on Dale and Keefe. They'll be here at 10 this morning. And, of course, Bill Belichick with the guys this afternoon, about 5:30 or so.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.